Good morning, everyone. It's been a blessing to be here already today. It's a little dreary outside, but praise the Lord, we can have peace and joy in our hearts here this morning. And thank you for those thoughts, Andy. What a challenge to our hearts. What I want to talk about here today is something that it doesn't mention there, but I believe that maybe those that God was pleased with during that time may have been doing in their lives. So I think I'll just write the title on the board here and we'll get started. Okay. So perhaps another year coming to a close has caused me to reflect on areas of growth or lack thereof in my own life. As Christians, we are called to continually grow in our faith and deepen our relationship with God. Never is backwards an acceptable direction. However, we know that left to ourselves, we become lukewarm and backslide. As I consider this, one thing I notice is that I stayed stagnant or backslid in areas where I didn't have a specific goal of improvement. Simply hoping for spiritual growth and progress hasn't worked for me, and I'm fairly confident in saying that it won't work for you either. Setting goals in our spiritual walk requires effort and commitment, but without them, we can't expect to be any better prepared for eternity tomorrow than we were yesterday. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to look at 12 aspects of setting and achieving spiritual goals, from defining them clearly to navigating the challenges that arise. I don't expect you to remember all 12 of them, but my hope is that there's something here for everyone. It's my desire that these thoughts inspire you to set goals that honor God and draw you closer to Him. Since there's 12 of them, we'll move through them fairly quickly here. But the first one is setting clear and specific goals. Proverbs 4:25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Clearly define your spiritual goals so they are purposeful and focused. Believe it or not, vague goals are actually harder to achieve. And I had to think of if I would tell any of you right now to, you know, I want you to go outside and get in your car and start driving west. That sounds easy, but then how do you know once you've done it? It's not very practical to expect someone to reach that because if you keep going west, you'll end up right back to where you are. But if I tell you to get in your car and go to San Francisco, now you have something that you can aim towards, and I think that it's important that you're clear in setting your goals in that way. And I had to think, I think that all of us here would have the goal, and I think it's a good thing that we desire to draw closer to God, but we're going to need more than that. You know, maybe we need to set a specific time every day that we want to spend in our devotions. If you are spending 20 minutes a day in your devotions and you start spending 30, that will draw you closer to God. But if you just say that I want to draw closer to God, there's not really any way for you to practically move towards that. Number two is try to set goals that are outside your reach. And hear me out on this one. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I didn't do any research on this, but I know that God promises strength a lot in the scriptures, probably about as much as anything else. I believe that's because if we're going to be about our Father's business, we aren't going to be able to do it ourselves. Setting goals that seem impossible will require God's intervention, and we wouldn't ever want to live without that. Number three is to find relevant goals to you. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're going to need to spend some time alone with God and yourself to ensure that your goals align with your faith, values, and the mission you believe God placed you here to fulfill. And a question to help you in this, and that has helped me, is to ask, how does this goal help me grow spiritually, serve others, and glorify God? If you're a young person, you should probably get your parents, and you're still at home, you should probably get your parents' input on this, as obviously finding what you believe to be God's will for your life and what he'd have you to do here before you die isn't necessarily a light matter, so I think it's important to get some experience in your corner if as you're thinking about this. Number four is to set time-bound goals. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun. I think that it's important to have an understanding of God's will for our lives, like I said, and we can call that our mission. Levon did a beautiful job talking about this last Sunday. If you didn't hear that, you should listen to it. But there's a very important distinction I want to make between our goals and our mission. Our goals may and should change as we get older and our life circumstances change. Our mission, bringing glory to God and the way he's designed for us, should never change. It's critical to set goals that support the accomplishment of our life's mission right where God has us today. Circling back to the point of having time-bound goals, doing so will give you the opportunity to set more appropriate goals once you've completed them. And so this is simply, it's probably a good idea to set a date or a time to something you desire to do, because it's easy to say, you know, right now I want to spend, you know, an hour and a half in my devotional time in the morning. But as you grow older, there might be other areas of your life that some of that hour and a half would be better devoted to something else. The fifth point is that spiritual growth and goals will require sacrifice. Luke 9, 23 and 24. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So if we expect to get any meaningful outcome and growth in our spiritual life, it will require sacrifice and discipline. That's nothing new. You will need to let go of comfort, time, and selfish desires to achieve any worthwhile change. The good news is that if you have an eternal perspective, it will feel more like an investment and not a sacrifice. I had to think of the parable of the man who found a treasure in a field in Matthew 13, so I'm going to read it here. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. May we do that to know God more. Number six is support your goals. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to find ways to stay encouraged about our goals in achieving spiritual growth. Use every chance you get to place reminders around yourself of the growth you want to see and achieve. And you need to eliminate distractions. Many people think that focus is simply pushing through a desire to chase the shiny objects around us. The truth is, however, that many times we have to get rid of the shiny objects altogether if we want to be focused on the task at hand. It's important to fill our eyes and our ears with things that keep us in mind of Christ and what He would like to do in our lives. The easy thing to do here is if you can, and as you can, to listen to music and the messages that speak to your goal. Number 7 is to stay accountable. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Share your spiritual goals with a trusted friend, mentor, or minister for encouragement and support. If you're a young person still at home, seek support from your parents or get their approval before seeking accountability elsewhere. I think a good accountability partner is probably someone that even just having them and being accountable to them might be enough in and of itself to motivate you to make the changes that you need to in your life. And I know that accountability most times is to help us not do things, but it can also be a blessing to have someone to hold us accountable to doing something. Number 8 is to outlast trials. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Spiritual goals and growth always come with setbacks, distractions, and discouragement. But that's a good thing. As we endure challenges, we are not only getting closer to our end goal and to God, but also becoming someone who can maintain the higher ground when we get there. And I had to think of, say, a mountain climber wants to climb Mount Everest, and he's thinking about it and thinking about it, and maybe he goes to bed at night, and he even prays to God and says, Lord, it'd just be such a blessing if you would just put me on the top of Everest and I can take in the view and your glory there and whatever all he prayed. Say he does that, and then the next morning he finds himself on the top of Everest. What happens next is he dies. Skipping the months in the base camps along the route, allowing his lungs to adapt to the thinner air, resulted in immediate death. Rather than ducking them, commit to enduring trials by leaning on God's strength. And something I had to think of is sometimes we might be going through our personal time with the Lord, and we might feel like that we're not getting as much from it as we should. I think some of that is okay and to be expected, but the important thing is that we keep having our devotions and to not slack off. As we go through life, we are either coming out of, in the middle of, or on our way to another trial. They're not something we should allow to stop us from achieving and becoming all God wants from us. Number 9 is to use peer pressure. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. This verse insinuates that though we run together towards one common goal, we run better if we assume only one will receive the prize. We are called to help as many people to eternal life as possible. Used properly, This mindset can be a useful, God-given tool when seeking spiritual growth, both for ourselves and those around us. Peer pressure can be a blessing if we seek to challenge and encourage both ourselves and one another to reach higher ground. To some extent, it's true that if you see someone and, you know, maybe you desire to have the personal walk with God that they have or some godly characteristic that they have, all you have to do is do what they did to get it. To some extent, that is true, and there can be value in doing that. That being said, the Bible doesn't speak highly of comparing ourselves among ourselves. It can easily turn into jealousy, envy, and trying to tear one another down. A much better long-term strategy is aiming to give God the absolute best you can using the talents and gifts unique to you, and then helping everyone around you do the same. Be sure to bless others when you see God working in and through their lives to His glory. See how you can encourage and learn from them. A goal that God will always bless is supporting those He is using in the advancement of His kingdom. Number 10 is to revisit your goals. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. It's important that we keep our spiritual goals top of mind and in our prayers. Write them down regularly, lest you forget them. Pray about them every time you get on your knees. If you set goals with the will to glorify God, you can have boldness in your prayers for his help. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. An easy thing to do here is to maybe keep a journal of answered prayers, lessons learned, and how God is continuing to work in your heart. A blessing of setting goals that are clear, relevant, and time-bound is that you will be able to see progress you make towards them. Many times, just recognizing this progress and thanking the Lord for it can be just what we need to stay encouraged in the process. On the flip side, if we ignore the work that God is doing in our hearts, may lead us to becoming discouraged and disheartened. Number 11 is to break down your goals. And I had to think of, I don't know where it originated, but the proverb, the way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time, seems to be true. Break your large goal into daily or weekly steps. Not only will the fog begin to lift from the path forward, but these are the battlegrounds on which God gives us the strength we ask for. And I had to think for an example of this. Let's say your goal is to read the Bible in a year. If that's your goal, you better have an understanding of how many chapters you need to read every day and every week to make it happen. God isn't going to read the Bible for you, but He will strengthen you in the early mornings and late nights as you sacrifice to read your 3.5 chapters a day. And the last one, and I think the most important one, is thank God and praise the Lord. Luke 15, 23 and 24. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Giving thanks to God when He helps us achieve a milestone is crucial in reaching the next. Give God glory every chance you get and for everything that He does in your life. Celebrating progress will look different for everyone, but I think it can be a blessing. This should always include prayer and thanksgiving to God. However, many people sabotage the progress they make and that God gives them by either not giving the credit to God, and I had to think of King Herod here, when he took God's glory upon himself and was eaten with worms directly after, or by rewarding themselves with a leap right off the edge of the higher ground they just reached. An easy example of this would be, let's say someone goes on a 3-month diet, and then to celebrate at the end of it, they eat a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. while Ben and Jerry's is great and I think we should all have it sometimes, we should choose rewards that align with the momentum God gives us. So I know we didn't go very deep here, but my hope is that there was at least one thing that spoke to you specifically. As we journey through life, setting, working towards, and achieving spiritual goals, we must remember that this is not a one-time task. It's a continuous cycle. Each step of the way, we are invited to draw closer to God, grow in faith, and glorify Him through our actions. As we strive for higher ground in our spiritual lives, we will need to embrace the discipline of goal setting repeatedly. As we do, we'll experience transformation, joy, and the satisfaction of knowing we are aligning our lives with God's perfect will. And as you go about your next week and months to come, I want you to remember, you can all probably quote it by heart, but Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Thank you. That's all I have.